I'm Blake Hardcastle. This is the Stories You've Missed podcast.
Welcome back to Stories You've Missed. These are accounts of God's amazing grace in the lives of ordinary people at Grand Parkway Baptist Church. And I'm your host, Blake Hardcastle. I serve as a spiritual formation pastor at Grand Parkway, and this conversation is designed to aid in the building up of this local body by retelling the goodness of God. My guests today are Zach and Michelle Calhoun. Michelle is from Sugarland, Texas, and she went to Manhattan Christian College in Manhattan, Kansas, not Manhattan, Manhattan, home of the Thunder. And she works at home as a mom of three boys. Zach is from Spring, Texas, and he went to UTSA, Go Roadrunners, where he spent a little time throwing a 5-ounce ball around the yard. He owns a software company called Cloud Pano, and he and Michelle have been married for 6 years. They have been at Grand Parkway for 2 years. And today, we're going to talk about being hospitable to the glory of God. So welcome, Michelle and Zach.
Thanks for having us.
Let me start with, how did you two meet?
Oh.
Should I go first?
Well, is it scandalous? Maybe we can't.
Long story short, we met at a bar.
A barn, okay.
He was with his small group. West Alabama Ice House down in like the Montrose area, Houston. I was with his college friend. His college buddy said, let's go meet my buddy Zach and his small group. They're out getting drinks after their small group. We met. I started hanging around their church for probably a month. About a month later, Zach asked me on a date. We went on that date, talked about getting married on that date. We met the parents the next Monday. We got engaged.
Awkward Christian conversations.
3 months later and married 6 months later.
Now, would you say you guys are impulsive at all or
decisive? I would say very decisive.
Yes, decisive.
Yes.
Now, Zach, were you driving the pace of that?
I think we both were. I was 28, right? At that point, the first date, you're like, hey, listen, here's who I am. Here's what I'm about. Take it or leave it. And I think she was the exact same way. So it was really clear.
You had done enough of the, hey, let's just see. Like, okay, this is where, if we're ever going to talk again, I got to know where this could go for the rest of my life.
I just knew I had nothing to lose. I'm just going to lay it all out right here.
That's right. It was a good time. I mean, we were downtown in Montrose. I went to Sojourn Montrose. I was what we called a parish leader. So parish leader is like a community group leader here. Same thing. And so as we got engaged and then got married, I said, hey, Michelle, you're doing this thing with me now, by the way. You're helping me lead this thing. And it's basically a small group. And it was every week, and we'd always bring a meal. And it was – so community was actually a big part of our initial engagement and marriage, and it's part of kind of our ethos of what we did. You know, it was – so I guess that kind of rolls into the story some a little bit now here in Sugarland. But that's what we did, and we just like the phrase they would use down there at Sojourn Montrose was great. It's called living life on life together, right? So we kind of really embraced that. Also, Michelle's just extremely hospitable anyways. That's just her gift, bro. Like if she had a pick, if I had to label one gift on her, it's hospitality. Like incredibly good at it. Thinks of all these small things I would never think of. So now when people are coming to the house, instead of me just putting a chicken on the table and saying, all right, guys, grab a chair. She's got decorations. She's got the house ready. She's got, you know, stuff like that. It's way different with when you get married, right? Obviously people
under,
you know.
Southern hospitality.
Oh yes, you're Southern. Yes, your whole family's Southern.
Wiring wise, the way God's made you, are you both extroverts, both introverts? Is there a compliment? What's
our initial is both extroverts.
Okay.
Yeah.
We do well in a party. We can bounce around.
I mean, that's what we'll probably lead into. That's our thing. Like, that's what we have found that we thrive together, throwing parties together, other than being parents together.
And so then. Being around people, that's energizing for you guys, fulfilling. So one thing I don't want to talk about is this thing called National Night Out that I don't know that many people in our congregation participate. I'm not even sure people know about it. I didn't know until I moved here that that was a thing, and I don't know what reason. So explain, what is National Night Out and why do you care about it?
Yeah, Michelle, how'd you find it actually? So it's on the Fort Bend County website, right? You sign up for it, like, and basically you pick what what type of, do you want a police officer or a fire truck to come to your house on that night? Oh. And then you invite your neighbors over. Oh. And what happens is you sign up online, and a few days later, cops show up at your house, and it's not because they're there to arrest you. They drop a sign off and some like swag and like pins that say, okay, you know, Sherland Police Department has their phone numbers on it. And you have this little banded sign you put in your front yard, and it says, join us on this date. Yeah. And it's National Night Out. And it has like, so it's kind of like a little advertisement. And as every neighbor drives by that week, they see this, it's not obnoxious, but it's a big sign that says, we're having official, a party. Yeah. Big, like it's a thing. And it has the police department on it. And so, and what we did this year, we signed up for the motorcycle, right? Mm-hmm. And the previous year, we signed up for the fire truck because we have little boys. We want the fire truck to come. Yeah. Of course, they came at like 9:30 p.m. Everyone's already asleep. Right. So it was like way too late. Everyone picks the fire truck. So this year, we learned our lesson. We picked the motorcycle.
And if there's a call, they we're not going to show up
because
we got a fire to go deal with. Right. Yeah. Now, how did you, you know, were you on Fort Bend's site looking for this? Or were you like, everyone else, I'm complaining about my taxes. I'm complaining about the garbage. No.
I saw signs in our neighborhood. So we basically had just moved in probably several months before that.
And what neighborhood is this?
This is Greatwood in Sugar Land. And we kind of slowly just decided to start living life outside our house. Like if we're going to eat dinner, we're going to eat in the front yard.
In the front yard. Okay.
It was actually our goal to get to know everyone's name on our street within that first like month or two. So like I would meet someone, I'd run inside and write down on a piece of paper and what I kind of found out about them.
Yeah.
And so we had that goal and just slowly like doing life outside, not even knowing we'd have three boys. And that's actually where I live now is outside. Right. So a few months later, I saw, okay, well, we've already like met all of our neighbors. Yeah. I saw that there's a sign for National Night Out. And I was like, well, what is this like official thing? We already just kind of do this on the daily.
Right.
So I got online and it said anyone can sign up. And I was like, well, I'm going to sign up. Like, I know I'm just new and I'm somebody. Yeah. I don't know like what criteria you have to have, but I'm going to see what happens.
Right.
And I remember I don't know if I was there. I think I might have been out running errands and Zach called and said, hey, the officers just came and some other lady and they dropped off all of our stuff. We're throwing National Night Out this week. And I was like, great. I said, you pick up pizza. We'll have just some drinks. And everyone came out. And over that night, we had heard from several people on our street. Oh, I've been on here for 15 years, for 5 years. We've never, I don't know who these people were.
So you've met people. So how many people came to your house that night?
This was our mostly just our street.
Okay.
So it's like a cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
Would you say
15 houses? Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe like 50, 60.
Oh, just 50, 60 people. 70. Yeah, that's all. Okay.
What, you know, a bunch some people of listening kids just had running a around.
Hearts skip a beat. Oh no.
Yeah.
I
don't know. Something about being outside. I just. It's a lot less intimidating than inside.
They've met you already.
Well, they've met me already.
And you've been kind to them already.
Yeah. So I should address that, actually. Everyone, okay. It may seem like, okay, we're talking about this event that's once a year. You sign up, everyone comes to your house. Well, sort of. Like what I noticed Michelle and the boys doing before, and it was also very intentional, is they, for every little holiday, whether it was Father's Day, Mother's Day, Valentine's Day, Michelle would like to bake cookies or bake little muffins or bake something. And the boys would walk around to every house and knock on the door and drop off a baked good. So I call it the secret weapon. Like if you want to get to know your neighbors, give them some muffins, bro, like or some cookies. They're going to like be really thankful.
This is like the Trojan horse of cuteness.
Exactly what it is.
The little boy and little
and
thing.
And it teaches our kids to talk to adults, which was awesome. Yeah. It was something that we didn't even realize we're also doing, but it's been great for that reason too.
So what started to happen was people were thankful, and like we have this one neighbor that never comes outside ever, I would say, but we kept dropping off stuff and they kept going, he's down a different neighbor, different part of Greatwood, but actually I saw him outside, so I'll give him some credit one day. And so, for example, at Christmas time, that neighbor came by with a bottle of wine or champagne or something.
Yeah.
And just like, I want to give you this for the holidays. And we're like, oh, thank you so much. Wow. And it almost like that law of reciprocity, right? It's like people kind of feel like, oh, this person gave me some muffins. Well, I need to like at least be nice to them or something, right? So then when a few weeks later or a few months later, they get a little cute invitation from our boys. And like, hey, come to this thing. Yeah. You know, now they're like, oh, yeah, I'll go, you know. So it was like the sign in the yard and the whole kind of actual event. That's a thing. But you know, let's give Michelle a lot of credit. Like, she's gifted in hospitality, yeah. And she's like, I want my boys to learn how to be hospitable. So we're going to bake stuff together. We're going to walk around. So picture a summer day with no school. That's what they're doing that day. They're baking goods. They're walking around. They're giving out stuff.
Yeah.
And they're basically building these relationships. And of course, we happen to have, like, on our street, a lot of people in the same life stage. Like, kids are in kindergarten, kids are in second grade, kids are, you know, being born, and kind of like, we're kind of living life on life, kind of sort of in this old neighborhood scene. So it's a little different than downtown Montrose, where we came from, right?
Where we couldn't really go outside at night, or at least me single-handedly couldn't go. You know, I wouldn't go do that with my boys.
Yeah, that's way different.
The context makes it
literally dangerous. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't let you go outside.
Yeah.
Versus now, we can be outside as much as we want to be, which is really cool. So it's cool to, like, watch Michelle and the boys do this. And of course, I'm like very much here supporting. I mean, I may go off to work or whatever, but I'm like, yeah, this is great. You know, let's be friends. Let's talk. Let's have a, you know, what do you do? What's your name? Who are you? But kind of one of those first, like Michelle said, the first time we did National Night Out, people met each other for the first time. Like, I was watching this happen. I watched, like, James meet was his next door neighbor or whatever it was.
It blew my mind. And I was like, oh, y'all didn't know each other? Like, you hadn't said hi before?
Was there some part of you inside that was feeling very judgmental? Like, what is wrong with you people? Are you even humans?
You heard the stereotypical, oh, you're going to move to the burbs, people pull in their driveway in their garage, and then that's all you see. And I just knew that's not going to happen around here. Yeah. I do not want people going inside their homes. And me being living so close to them, literally feet away, not knowing what's going on in their life. Yeah. Like, I want to know. I want to be that friend.
Mm-hmm.
And it has now come to, we are most vulnerable with the neighbors on our street because they see us on good days and bad days.
Yeah.
Or it's 12 p.m. Does anyone have Tylenol? My child screaming.
Yeah.
Or what, you know,
our
cars broke down. Can someone run over and help?
Yeah.
I mean, so there's been so much fruit just from that one National Night Out. And we've had several since then, and several other things since then that people, I mean, still will, they've said they've never experienced any life like this.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's deep in us to live like Jesus did.
Are you finding that people, you know, they're saying, I've not experienced this. Do they desire it? Do they want it?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
They kind of just wait around for, I think, an invitation.
Yeah.
Which is okay. And also, you know, if maybe that's not your personality or extrovert type, you're not going to say, hey, let's throw this party, when it might be a lot easier for Zach and I to wrap our minds around. Okay, we just got to grab some pizzas, grab some beers, and go outside at 5 o'clock and turn on some music. That can be intimidating for some people.
Yeah.
But it just brings us so much joy to be able to do that. And we'll be honest, when people say, are y'all sure you want to do this? I can't believe you're doing this again. We're like, glory to God, he's allowed Zach to work and have money, and he's funding this. And I intentionally don't post pictures and share pictures about this stuff because this is not any of our doing. This is all the Lord. And I want to stay very humble and not show, like, oh, look at this big thing I threw. That's not. There's no glory to me.
Someone listening right now who something might be stirring in them that, oh, I would really like to be a part of something like that, but they also conflict with doubts that we don't have or I can't do. What would you say to that person?
I would say that's totally normal. Like, it's normal to have self-doubt for all the things in life, you know? So, like, you have a goal or something you want to do. I mean, you're going to immediately say, well, here's 10 reasons why I shouldn't do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just all of us. I think that's very normal. That's not just about throwing a party in your front yard. That's anything, right? So I think it's okay to have those thoughts and to, like, kind of maybe write them down or whatever. But the reality is like, you know, you thinking through what could go bad or could go wrong or whatever doesn't really mean anything until you go out there and, like, push against, like, that, like, reality. So you have to go outside and see what happens. And what I've noticed, and not to, like, kind of hammer the point again, but, like, everybody loves baked goods. So no one's going to, like, be mad at you for dropping them off. They're all going to say, wow, that was actually super kind. Thank you so much. And then even I was going to say earlier, like, you don't even know what they're thinking when they're there at this party or at your house or at your front yard. And then, but afterwards, they always say this. It's really surprising to me. And I like it, but it's always every time. It always surprises me every year. Thank you so much for throwing this. This was so great. Thank you. And I'm just like, I got Little Caesars pizza for $5 a pizza, yeah. and I put it on a table. I didn't really do anything, but they're acting like it was like this monumental
but it's that
event.
Life on life people crave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have that, you know, being in this church and just both of us grew up in a Christian home. So we understand like how important community is, let alone biblical community.
Right.
And so some people have never seen that.
Sure.
Or have that, you know.
Right.
Yeah. You could see it like naturally come out of them as, oh, wow, I need this. I actually, I feel like I, not only do I need it, but like I feel better now that I've experienced it. Yeah. You can
tell
that.
And going back to what would you tell someone?
Yeah.
I think it's don't make it about yourself. If five people show up, then five people show up and be thankful for that. Yeah. But do not set any expectations of this is going to be a huge hit.
Yeah.
Because if you're truly doing this, just to get to know your neighbors or love on someone like Christ loves us, then you won't care who comes, how many people come. And I know that's a lot easier said than done, but that it really helped us say it doesn't matter how tonight goes. We're just going to do it. If we're going to go inside and eat pizza, let's just go out in the yard and do it. And then God does the rest.
And then you know? Where we live in the United States, for the most part, you can be outside. This is different. This is different in Manhattan, Kansas, where it does get cold in the winter.
Right. Yes. Sure. Yeah.
The what do your kids think about this?
They love it.
they love it.
And there's oldest is 4 years old, and the youngest is 1 year
old. Oldest is five, youngest is one, and middle is three. Yeah. We actually also do like a Friendsgiving down in the cul-de-sac, and it was probably a month ago, and our oldest asked if we're having Thanksgiving again at the mailbox. He doesn't even, I guess, know that we actually do Thanksgiving like with our immediate family.
Right,
but
right.
to him, this is Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But we were just talking the other day how I think this has been a huge thing we've done in our home.
Yeah.
And we'll continue to do to help our boys see that we love other people.
Yeah.
And I know they're going to probably bring friends home one day that they might be not sure if mom and dad are going to like them. And we may not. We're not always going
to
agree maybe what that friend is doing. But I want them to be comfortable saying, hey, can I bring this friend around? So because it shows that anyone's invited.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean we have to agree, you know, and we can go down that story. But I think it just is helpful with the acceptance of to not be ashamed of not be ashamed of the gospel of who we are in the Lord.
Yeah. Now, both of you, what do your parents think of what you're doing? Because, you know, parents always have an opinion about what their kids do and don't do. I'm curious about that.
I think my parents also live down the street.
And they came to Halloween party.
And they come to everything now. But I think at first my mom was like, oh, cool. Yeah. Like, what is Michelle doing? I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like, she's throwing like a rager outside
her
yard.
Aren't you busy enough inside the house?
Yeah, you know, wanting me to like very be careful with my time. My dad, you know, he thought it was cool, was all about it. And now they're super supportive and come and help, or they'll come an hour early to help set up.
Yeah.
And they've said too, and I know they're probably listening, we don't have that on our street. And like I said, they live around the corner down the street. And I'm like, well, have you gone outside and tried to do it? You know, and they're a little bit older, so I don't think they desire maybe what we do at 30 with young kids.
Yeah. You know, something you just said about they're just a street over, but they don't have that. That really, this is kind of needed on kind of a micro scale where one little corner of one neighborhood, that's not enough. That one little corner, people are beginning to feel known and cared for. But at least a whole bunch of people who don't feel known and cared for.
And a lot of people will wander down our street and come to it as well. But
yeah,
I mean, we all have only so much capacity in our life. So like, I can't really think of anyone past that stop sign at the end of my street.
Yeah.
Because that's, I also have to take care of my family. Yeah. They're my number one priority.
Yeah.
And then I can easily take care of my neighbors even before friends here at church, because I see those, I can see them. They're right there. I can
walk proximity to
their house. Yeah.
Yeah. And access to them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You just had something else. So we just had free candy day or or Reformation Day or Halloween, depending right. on depending
Zach
on how you
did
celebrate.
Teach our boys
I
about
celebrate
Reformation
all those things,
Day
by the way.
Last yeah. year, and they're, you know, like infants. They're like, Dad, what are you talking about? It was great.
Most important day of the
one,
year.
One day we'll really hammer that.
Yeah. And so I guess it was this past Monday.
Yeah.
Which really was a couple days ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the
oh,
recording
yeah.
of this.
We're coming right
yeah. off. Yes, it's all blur now. Mm-hmm. So did you guys have a big rager in the front yard again?
We did.
We had a big okay. Halloween party, yeah.
Right.
It was a lot of fun. Well, have you ever, I don't know, I was telling someone this story about how, like, when you first have a party, like, one year, like, a couple people may come, great. Next year, okay, all right, it's a little bit better. But the third time you do it, like... Yeah. Everybody shows
it's
up.
That's what everyone counts.
Everyone
on.
Showed up.
So, if someone listening,
it was cool.
You got to do it three times.
Maybe, yeah,
yeah.
At least,
yeah,
probably.
Until you get the third time, you don't have enough data to know mm-hmm. if you're terrible at it or if your people just don't want to talk
right.
to each other.
True,
okay,
true.
All right.
Yeah, I think so. That seems very reasonable. Halloween, so initially when we first moved in, Michelle said this, I'll never forget. I want to redeem Halloween. I want to own it. I'll
okay.
be the one who owns this party. And I said, okay. And it happens to be like a month after National Night Out. So we have this like National Night Out,
yeah.
like precursor party. And at the party, we're saying, hey, you should come by for Halloween as well. So like we start to make this plan. So at National Night Out, we're like, what about chili? That sounds a good idea. I'll bring chili. I mean, so now we have people bring chili inside. And
so now you broke people
yes,
into being.
It's all part of the party now.
Like,
yeah.
Not only are they going to mm-hmm. come, but they're going to. Contribute.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Which
and
kind
now,
of actually guarantees they're going to come.
Exactly.
But if you don't bring your chili, we're going to be
right.
hungry.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was
yeah.
a lot of chili.
And
a lot
I think people
came.
Want to feel like they're counted on.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I think that has a lot to do
yeah.
with it too. Like, oh, they're counting on me. We
yeah.
got to show up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's part of the deal. I mean, that's what makes it great. We had so many mm-hmm. Fritos and chips and burritos, and we had a whole pumpkin pie left
yeah.
that nobody touched. I have this massive pumpkin pie in my fridge right now, which I've had one slice of, by the way. And all of this, it's just like, picture everyone bringing their portion, their piece,
yeah.
they're part of it. We have our cross street neighbor is so wonderful. She's like, oh, I probably won't bring anything. I don't know. I'll come last second. And the last second, she brings like these like perfect hot dogs, like wrapped in this bread to look like mummies because it's like mummy hot
yeah,
dogs. I was
yeah.
like, wow, this is amazing. What are you
yeah.
talking about? So the kids love that. So I imagine chili hot dogs and like cornbread
yeah.
and all this stuff. So it was cool. It was a really, I don't know. It's hard to explain, but like, it's just, we're like, Lord, thank you for doing this. This
it's
is
like
cool.
a little
yeah.
piece of heaven on earth. You know, it's my ultimate goal is I would love to see all these people in heaven.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
But like he was saying, we do it to redeem Halloween,
yeah.
at least for through the eyes of our home.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, everywhere you go, there's so much scary Halloween
mm-hmm.
stuff. And especially
yeah.
in Greatwood, the decorations are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we get to have a lot of good conversations with
yeah.
my kids of why we do this. It's to be have fun and be
yeah.
silly and.
Yeah.
Love on others again.
Yeah.
We tell people they can't dress up scary. We don't
right.
do anything scary,
right.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they see things when they're walking around, but any opportunity that our kids see things in the world is a chance to disciple
sure.
them and talk with
sure.
them.
Absolutely.
Or we could keep them inside and say, we're not going to do it, which
right.
is fine. I understand some people do that.
Yeah.
But it was just our way of, and maybe one day someone will ask, well, y'all keep doing this, but it's
mm-hmm.
not like y'all aren't having a haunted house.
Right.
And then I can share
right.
why. You know, we don't do that.
How long have you guys lived in this neighborhood?
3 years.
3 years.
Okay.
Three
almost four.
Almost four.
Yeah, we keep track as Everett was born like a month after we moved in. That's
and
how
then
I keep
like
track
a few
it.
Months later, we started
yeah.
this.
Yeah. yeah.
we were
so.
Like, we love living life in community,
yeah.
like the proximity mantras that we were like, we're going to keep doing
mm-hmm.
this no matter what people say about
yeah.
the suburbs.
Yeah. Can you ever envision leaving?
No. No.
You know, I
not right now.
Well,
yeah.
Not maybe
I mean,
even Greatwood.
I think, you know, these roots have gone and
yeah.
intermingled with the lives of the people around you.
I mean,
and
if we would love to, of course, like maybe live on land with having three boys, but we could never not have neighbors.
Yeah.
Like we just, that gives us so much life
yeah.
to just be with other people. I mean, almost every day after school, after work, kids
mm-hmm.
are outside, moms
yeah.
are outside talking, dads are having a beer. It's
mm-hmm.
this is the life.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what we've prayed for, and this is what God has done on our street. I tell Zach all the time, I feel like we're just these little puppets, and he just like moves us around on our street and tells us what to do. It's
yeah.
never any glory to us.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
we praise him every time. We
yeah.
pray over our yard before it happens.
I'm like Ned Flanders from The Simpsons. I wave at everybody. Howdy ho, neighbor. I always say, hi, how you doing? How's it going? I like to do that. I think it's a lot of fun. It's fun to get to know people anyways for us and just, you know, connect with folks. You know, it's not like rocket science, right? If I can wave at somebody, how you doing? You know, sometimes I just fall around one of my kids is walking, just like Colton, my youngest. He's one and a half. He's just trotting along. I'm just making sure he doesn't get hit by a car.
Yeah.
How was your day going? My day's great. How was yours? Where are you from? Simple questions, you know, it's just like stuff like that. And try to remember their names, write them down. And next time, almost every time, they're like, hey, what's up? All of a sudden, we're friends, you know. And it's just because I'm outside. You don't have to have a kid to do this. You can have a little dog that you walk around. Or, I mean, you know, probably some kind of excuse. You know, you could stand outside someone's house until they come out. That'd be weird. But you could still just any excuse you can to, like, make a connection, you should do that. I think it's a great thing.
So anyone listening with a one of these overpriced doodle dogs, they're a natural friend maker.
Yeah. That's right. It's a great tool. Yeah. It's a tool for gospel community.
That's right. These dogs gotta start doing something. Just chew stuff up and break things. They can start doing something. Okay.
I think I hear a lot. We don't have this on our street from a lot of people, not just like I mentioned from my mom. But you do. Well, the lady who lives directly across from us, she's 75. We're friends. She came over to the yard the other day and we just sat and had wine.
Yeah.
While the kids played on their bikes.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't mean that like everyone's my age has the exact same age kids.
Yeah.
There are a few moms. But not you can. Like there are
I think people. That's significant what you just said that this exists on your street. You just haven't experienced it yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This exists in your cul-de-sac, in your neighborhood. You just haven't tasted it yet. You know, I wonder if there's some people who, you know, they long for what you're saying, and they're maybe not wired to be the hub of, okay, but they want, they would love to play a supporting role in this.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if there's people they may know of, this couple, they could do that. They could pull this off. What should they say to them? So someone has in mind maybe a family like yours that these two, they're kind of party people.
It's okay to join forces with your neighbor.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So we have a neighbor down the road, David, who likes to open up his driveway and do little fires during the winter and have people over, you know, and you with just one supportive, like someone, you know, someone supporting you, you know, you're going to have one person at your party. It's all you need, right?
It's a party. Now it's
and
a party.
Maybe even that friend or that couple you have doesn't live on your street or lives in the neighborhood over.
Yeah.
No one's taking tabs and names like, who, you know. Like,
hey, let me see your license.
Right. Like, ask that if they would help you, like, kick this off the first or second time.
Yeah.
Until you really get comfortable doing it. Because, of course, not everyone is wired.
Yeah.
And not every couple is even both wired that way. It is definitely unique that Zach and I are both this way. So it definitely makes for a strong, like, force.
Right.
Like, we are
right.
both out there waving and, you know, jumping around with our kids.
Waving.
Which you can imagine what our kids are like if we're both like this.
Yeah.
But, there's no rules. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I think people think there's just rules to everything.
Yeah.
And we are big believers, especially with Zach being an entrepreneur. There are rules, but at the same time, there's not. Like, there's so many different ways you can do things.
And they don't have to be wired the way you two are wired.
Yes.
In order for God
and
to.
And they don't have to throw it the way we throw it.
Yeah.
And whatever's more comfortable for you. Yeah. If you want to start it inside or just have a few people over.
Yeah.
You don't have to go all out every
time. I think it's what you said earlier is so important that it's not just the one day event or one night event.
Right.
It's kind of the weekly rhythm, the daily rhythm of.
This wasn't just like an all, like every, it just happened one night.
Yeah.
You know, it was leading up to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When's the next party? When's the next thing?
Friendsgiving.
Yeah.
Is that at the mailbox? Where is that one?
At the mailbox.
Yeah.
When you say mailbox, you mean like the big
in our cul-de-sac.
Okay. There's a mailbox in the center of the cul-de-sac.
Okay.
So that's why it's
in
like
the middle of the cul-de-sac.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, so behind
and then Christmas
that,
yeah, party after that.
Yeah.
And then crawfish boils like the whole rest of the year until summer hits again.
Once March hits, crawfish boil.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah. I think something that's important to note.
And what is, sorry, real quick.
Go ahead.
Other people are throwing those. The ones coming up aren't ours anymore.
You've got the thing rolling.
Yes.
Exactly.
And then people have now taken initiative. They're like, oh, well, I've always wanted to do this.
So yeah, I got a big boil set up. Why don't I pull this out? Why don't you pull it out?
Which is so cool. It's almost like it's a team effort. Everyone does their thing. And we all show up.
Some guys really got those grills with the pellets or whatever and the perfect temperature stuff. And some people, you know, has the crawfish thing. And one guy owns a wedding venue and like just literally has like, I guess, infinite extra beers he puts in a cooler, you know, for everybody. So it's like this.
Always has tables and chairs.
Everyone has an extra beer guy in your street. You just don't know him yet.
Yeah. He's there. He's somewhere. And, you know, and some of them do fantasy football together. I just cannot do it. I don't want to do it. But they're all in the same, you know, they all play together. So it's like, you know, they're like, oh, we just, they sometimes may think, oh, we just kind of like have this special street. Mm-hmm. And me and Michelle are kind of like, well, actually, like, we love y'all so much that we're going to make sure y'all have a special street.
Yeah.
You know, and like,
if this is where we're going to be 90% of our day, then we're going to do it well.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to give it my all.
Yeah. And it's not a secret mission. Like, I don't.
We talked about that before. I didn't know if that. Is that coming up?
Well, no, I just, okay. I think it's important. Sometimes it's, I think people, especially, so this is a Christian, we're in a church right now doing a podcast, right? So there is this underlying, secret agenda. Like we're going to look for a chance
to preach
the gospel.
Everyone on our street. Right. And that is up to God. We are definitely going to love them well. And the conversation has come up in several conversations, but we do not stand there. Mm-hmm. And open the Bible. One, because there just hasn't been the right time because there's so many kids.
Yeah.
But the Lord has provided opportunity for so many conversations.
Sure.
I mean, I walked a thank you card down to one of the houses last night at 8:30. On my little short walk back, I ran into a friend or another person on our street walking her dog. And in that 15 minutes, I found where her, like, I learned about her faith and where she walks with the Lord.
Yeah.
That was clearly God. I have always wondered, and it
you
just
didn't have
came
a canned
up.
Thing in your head. Okay,
no, I was like,
I'm gonna ask him this question,
up? And it just like one thing led to the next, and I was like, all right, like that was God.
I think it's important what you're saying that because really, I think what you're experiencing is being yourself to the glory of God,
absolutely.
And Zach is really good and encourages me to do that all the time,
and that's all
not ashamed
not
of
only
who
that
we
all
are.
God asks of us, but this is what we're empowered to do,
right?
That's right.
And so we said before, this might not look exactly the same on everyone's little corner, but what God's inviting us to is I'm willing to push and get behind all that I put in you and bring that out to you for my glory. And so is he glorified if your neighbors experience goodness? Well,
Mm-hmm.
I think that's he gives rain to the righteous and the unrighteous. Mm-hmm. He gives crawfish to the heathens and the saints on your street.
And they're good both ways.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's a really important point because like it may feel paralyzing as a Christian knowing you have this mission. And like, if I don't incorporate the mission somehow, I'm not going to be able to like glorify God. Listen, dude or ma'am, here's the deal. Just be you. Like God is in you. If he's in you,
if God is
it's going to pour out of you.
It's going to naturally
it's gonna
pour out.
If he's in you, it's going to,
And that's
it can
not
look
a,
different for each
no pressure.
Person. You know, we are just sharing our story, but we don't even have to be a prime example. Yeah. It can look different.
And some folks are better at spreading the gospel or saying the
word. Right.
But it does spread in words. The Bible is clear. Words have to be heard. Yeah. I understand that. Yeah. Right. At the same time, when
and
I pray for the food.
And that naturally comes up.
Yeah. And when I pray for the food and we spend that time doing that, that opens doors for those conversations. Mm-hmm. And it's a crowded event. So there's a lot of things happening. And but I guess like what really frees me up, what really helps me on my quote unquote mission is to know that God saves the souls, not me.
Yeah.
He does the saving. And that is so freeing that I can just go be me now.
Yeah.
Like I have friends that may, you know, someone may be Jewish or be Muslim and that's just who they are. Mm-hmm. I have no judgmental about them at all. And I think that's for those that are even non-Christians looking at me, oh, he's a Christian guy. Yeah, I know that. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't really change how I look at him or he is not really trying to like, baptize me whenever we're hanging out. That's just not part of like how community is built anyway. So just don't worry about that. If you like, I think that to me when I was younger, like I always had this like, well, how can I like ask this person at my workspace or, you know, about their faith? And the reality is like, maybe I just need to just be me, but be me more outwardly. Like just be who I am in Christ. He's changed me radically. He's the old is gone, the new has come. If that's true, just be that and be it outside. And as Michelle says, in the front yard, you know? And that's like so powerful. People like just love that stuff.
And guys, our house is not that big. I mean, we have a front yard. We actually like really don't even have a backyard, which I to this day think that is that Lord,
which most
the Lord
people
did that
are like,
on
I
purpose.
I want the reverse. I want a tiny, right. tiny front yard.
And we're like,
backyard.
Well, we're just going to have to do it all in our front yard.
Yeah.
Just like the day we moved in, I was like, because our backyard is small. And I think God did that, you know, for sure. That was part of his plan. But we don't live on acres. We live in a basic neighborhood where the houses are right next to each other.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, you're in the year three of all these things where you said before, man, year three is where, good grief, now it's going great.
Mm-hmm.
What when you, if I ask the question, you know, what's a time you think of, oh, that really failed. That was a bomb. That was super discouraging.
When it comes to
What comes to mind? Like, oh yeah,
that
was discouraging when we tried to do or whatever.
Oh,
I can't think of anything really off the top of my mind.
We're undiscourageable. Yeah.
No, I think God has been just really gracious to us. We haven't run into anything like that. And you know, we may, and I want us to have the heart and mindset of, hey, that's okay. Like it was what it was, but we're so deeply like rooted and connected with people on our street. If literally only four people showed up and everyone bailed, we would all
time.
Truly, we want have a great time and we would know they just had things come up and that's not the goal. I mean, Jesus, you know, talks about numbers and how many people were in the crowd about the same time. He doesn't, it doesn't matter. It's not like a miracle was more successful than another because there was more people at this one to see than the other one. So that's not our goal. So I don't know if we'll actually ever feel like something was a flop.
If you don't take it personally.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of wild out there. It's a lot of people are walking up, you know, to your house, to your front yard. You don't even count. You're just like,
I mean, okay, my poor 1 year old, I don't even know where he was on Halloween. I just know he is alive right now.
We had grandparents there.
There's so many
grandparents
people around there.
You don't really, too much going on to even keep track of this success or failure.
How would you explain this experience to like a 10-year-old, fourth grader, fifth grader? You know, older than
like
your kids.
Explain it to
like
them.
Explain, you know, why do we do what we do?
Well, a lot of what we just talked about, you know, I mean, we're very honest in our words and like vocabulary of like, for the glory of God, you know, like I want them to understand that at a young age. I don't want to buffer any kiddish words and then them not really understand.
Yeah, like I would say, you know, love your neighbor is very clear in the Bible, right? Mm-hmm. So I have a literal neighbor next door, and there's also neighbors other places. I would tell Wyatt if he was 10 years old. So we do that by, you know, inviting them over, by bringing them muffins, by bringing them food, by inviting them into our lives. And then, you know, of course, we want them to know Jesus also. If they don't, that's okay. We're still going to love them well because that's what the Bible says to do. And that's really it. It's very simple. You know, we don't have to, we have these, you know, ideas of what it could look like or cool ideas for, you know, whether it's chili or different things. but the reality is it's very simple. It's we're going to love them because the Bible tells us to.
Yeah. It's because Jesus said so. And then it's great because we can actually go do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't bake anything at the house without any of my kids. Well, my 1 year old can't talk. Any of my kids or Zach asking, are those for us or are you giving those away?
Yeah, really.
And then I'll say, well, I'll let y'all have three and then I'm going to give the rest. But, you know, it's even teaching them about, we are doing this because God has given Daddy a great job. Yeah. And now we have the money to go share that and go make these for so-and-so because they just had a really hard week.
Right.
So, I mean, you can think of a million things to pull out of why we do this, you know? Mm-hmm. Or mommy has the privilege of staying home with y'all. So we're going to use this time to go serve our neighbors right now.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think of a person who might be listening and they have a desire for this and they might also feel like, but I've just got so much else to do. And, you know, is your home one where there's no laundry and no messes and nothing ever breaks in the house? And
so actually laundry is one of the things we, I guess you could say threw in the towel probably two years ago. We don't do. I wash clothes like a beast. Like we have all clean clothes. We do not fold our clothes. If you need clothes, you can go dig around. Because I want to spend my time outside with the kids. I'd or something else that is more intentional. Yes. My laundry can't talk back to me.
It's folding liberation day, everyone.
And I guess, like, you know, being a house full of boys, they don't care. So I'm like, why am I caring about this? We have a laundry room.
Yeah.
It's not anything like picture perfect. Yeah. It's on, it's actually on the, all the clothes are on the floor if you want them. It's all clean. Yeah, we have plenty of clean clothes.
Yeah, Lindsay was like, I can walk through your laundry room today. So I know it's a miracle. Praise the Lord, you know, because the other day because I picked, put it up and put it in a different room. But anyway. Yeah.
But in some ways, it is a trade-off of, I want to curate a museum-like magical life inside my home, or do I want to curate a some kind of experience God's inviting me to.
Good point.
Where he's loving people through me and actually feels great.
Mm-hmm. You have to give up stuff. Yeah. Things have to just die. That's just the way it is. I mean, and when you have kids, that really happens, right? Like, a lot of stuff dies.
I mean, we're already dying to ourselves anyway. So
every day.
What's a little more dying?
Yeah.
What's a little more?
Yeah. What's laundry? What's folded laundry? Like, who cares? You know? But that's just, that is true. It's a good point. Like, we as humans do a good job filling up our hands of stuff. Like, we have our five things we do or whatever, and we just fill them up and we just do that. And that's fine. You know, I get it. Because we have desires, stuff we want to do. We have a boat we want to go to or whatever, or we want a clean house. Like, our house is just not clean most of the time. Now, every once in a while it is, you know, rarely, but there's just things that have to just die because you only have so much time in the day. You just do. Yeah. So then you have to sit down, write down, and say, what do I want to give up? Well, Michelle didn't really write this down. She just said, I'm not doing the laundry anymore. Screw it. And that's
skip the whole
okay.
writing down. That's a waste of time.
Yeah, yes. But so, everyone is fed and happy and has a bed to sleep in. Yeah. You know? Yeah,
that's true. And yeah. I know what, honey,
I
never scold you for it. I always think every once in a while, I'm like, supportive. Whatever, it's just fine. But you rather be outside with the boys. I'd rather you be out there making friendships, and it's beautiful. The sun's out there, you know, life's outside, you know, it's, and that's okay. I mean, the things, you do have to give things up. Like, I don't necessarily know how other people live. So I can't really judge anybody else. I live, you know, our house is a mess sometimes. Our laundry's crazy sometimes. Our sink is full of dishes sometimes. And you know, if I'm upset from work, I'll just clean really hard, you know, whatever that day or whatever, but that's fine. It's just like, sometimes stuff just gotta just sit and wait, you know, not get done. And Michelle taught me that. Like, I kind of came from a place before I got married, everything was pretty much clean. Like, I had it, you know, all quote unquote figured out. My life was all in order, and I got married and I had kids, and now nothing's in order. Well, that's just because life changes sometimes. You have to give up stuff, and that's okay. I think giving up stuff is the hardest for our hearts. Like, you know, it's like you could read any idol or anything you have control of. Like, it's just hard to give up control of certain things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that'll be your comfort zone when you're talking to a neighbor. Maybe it's Miss Jan across the street who's super sweet, but she just wants to talk to you about all kinds of stuff I don't want to talk about. You know what? Y'all talk. That's time you have to give up. And Michelle does this amazing job of just, like, quickly, like, letting other things just, like, wash away and, like, focusing in the moment. So I learned that from you. I, you know, am like very much like, go conquer the next thing, bye, I have to go. But that's not necessarily how I should be, right? So I'm learning from Michelle to love your neighbor well. You have to kind of be late to the next thing sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
And I understand that not everyone has the same lifestyle we have. Maybe the same job that Zach has that's flexible or stays at home. And you might roll in at 5:30 and need to get inside and start dinner and get your kids in bed.
Yeah.
Then it's just like anything else. You make a plan and you schedule a date.
Yeah.
Or you say, okay, on this Friday, though, because I know the next day, Saturday, we will spend more time outside.
Yeah.
Because not everyone is home at 5 o'clock.
Right.
Yeah. And that's okay. They might roll in at 7.
Yeah.
So then you just have to do it differently.
Right.
You just find what works for you.
Yeah. Yeah. With that person's context, and it may be we're going to have this couple from this home over.
Right.
We might even sit in our backyard. But that
we
hospitality
started
comes
with
in all sizes.
One couple, or like one family after that. And that helped a lot too, having
And I would give your invitation time and a buffer. So, like, this is just common party knowledge here, but just like, if you have a party the next day or the same day, no one's going to come, right? But if you give somebody 2 weeks and you have an invitation in their mailbox, like, they're gonna write down their calendar, they're gonna sit down with their husband or wife, and they're gonna plan it out. Hey, I would like to go to that. Yeah, let's go to that. Yeah. That sounds good. All of a sudden, you know, you have all these people confirming, and you you have 100 people come to your house.
Yeah, because
you
know, like the guys who throw the crawfish boil in the cul-de-sac, one of the families, they have busy jobs. He works in the hospital. Right. He does get home late. So they're not usually doing anything last minute on a Thursday night, but they make a plan.
Yeah.
And then we know a month in advance on Saturday or Sunday afternoon, they're throwing their thing because they are available Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
So they do what works for their schedule.
Yeah. Well, I think what's so neat about what you're describing in the story is how, you know, you being moved by God to, you know, do these very small wave and hello to very big has really flooded over to other people and encouraged them to a degree where now they're doing what they're good at.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're not throwing everything, but you're enjoying all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If someone is just really intrigued by this, would you be open to them talking to you and say, okay, tell me really? Okay.
For sure.
So if you're listening to this and you've been moved in some way and, Zach and Michelle are more than open to say, and they won't not say much else than we've said today, but they're more than open to affirm and hold your hand and move that way. I want to thank you for listening. And if someone came to mind whom this conversation would really encourage them, send them a link and invite them to listen to it. If you've heard a few episodes, do us a favor and give us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. This makes the podcast easier for people to find. But it also hits that affirmation language button and feels so good. If you have suggestions for other stories, you can contact me, blake@grandparkway.org. Michelle and Zach, thank you so much. I've truly enjoyed this. And
this
is going
to be really helpful and encouraging to people.
Absolutely.
These are the stories you've missed.